meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, Dick's Best, Bad Blood. Jeremy Piven's going to be in here tonight.
I'm betting he's at the old studio. That is my bet.
Well, he did Kimmel tonight.
Oh, okay, so it'll be a few more minutes.
Yeah, Kimmel, I believe, tapes at like 8 o'clock now. Ends at 9. He could get here, but... You know, when you do Kimmel, let me tell you something about Kimmel. That's a party going on over there.
I know.
That's not a TV show.
It's a party. It's the hang, the hot spot to be in Hollywood, that green room.
Anyone who's seen the show knows it's no TV show. It's a party. No, Drew, please. You know the way I meant that.
I know, of course.
You know what I'm saying. It sucks. No, it is a party going on over there.
It takes a while to get out of there, to extract yourself.
And when you're done, you got to have a couple of boozes, and you got to kiss the ring. You know what I'm saying? And let me tell you something about Jimmy. Anybody who goes to the show who...
this time I punched the mic into me.
Let me explain...
Punched me with the mic.
What Drew just did there. First, Drew... Yeah. What Drew does with the microphone, Drew actually hurt himself with the microphone at that. Drew, first, like a good Mexican fighter, he softens up the body. Mm-hmm. He goes down low. He works the liver. He works the kidney. And then once the body's been softened and the hands start sliding down and the elbows start going low to protect the midsection, pow, he turns the uppercut. And it's devastating. Yeah. And that time he jammed the mic right into his face with an uppercut. I've seen Drew hit the mic with his glasses.
Yep.
I've seen him hit the I would say bump. Or make contact with a mug. It's not the right word. I've seen him attack it with a mug.
Yeah, it's this one.
I've seen him use the mug against the mic the way a black mother uses a slipper against the cops when they're arresting her baby.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've seen him go at the mic. Yes. But this, I've never seen an uppercut, Drew.
I know.
You've improved.
I moved on.
And here's the thing about Drew. Just when you think there's not another way for him to make contact with the microphone, he turns around and surprises you. It's like a great relationship. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Speaking of making contact, I was taking my son to a tutoring session today.
I was not done with Kimmel, by the way.
But listen, you can get back. You'll like this, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at a Starbucks in the San Marino area, and I walk in and... just waiting for my son to finish his tutoring thing. And
you're waiting to get a freebie coffee from engineer Chris's brother.
No, this wasn't his place. This is somewhere way miles away from there. There's Chris sitting there.
Engineer Chris?
Engineer Chris.
I know. I hope my brother's not listening.
In an intense discussion with was he an Asian gentleman?
It's my friend.
They seem to be going over like a college.
Well, they don't have books in junior college.
No. Like a course selection book.
Course selection. We're getting some career advice, it seemed like. Let's see.
And he
Loser 101, Loser 102, Hesher 103.
He was talking about watching a pro at work, and he mentioned your name a couple times. And I thought, oh, how interesting.
Watching a pro at work, please.
Was that what you were looking at?
What were you looking at?
More junior college?
I couldn't interrupt them. They were very intense.
My schedule.
More junior college?
We're trying to figure out, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I just want to let you know that I got a buddy who's working at my house. He's going to be there tomorrow morning. Going on 22 years of junior college.
How did I know that was course selection? I must have seen you for 4 seconds. I knew he was giving you career advice.
Good call.
Junior college.
Why did you come to us for career advice?
Yeah.
All
right. Close your mic. That's my career advice. Shut your mic off. Junior college is to young students what quicksand is to natives chasing Tarzan.
Yeah.
They hit it and that's it. And the more they struggle, the deeper they get. And eventually,
everyone knows that about quicksand.
It's just their hat, just a pith helmet sitting there.
What are you taking? What are you going to take?
It doesn't matter.
I want to know what they were.
It was quite a discussion.
What?
Either
what was he advising you to take?
Math or biology.
Let me explain.
Those are
something.
The last two I have to take.
When I'm in charge, I go through junior college every 7.5 years and clean house. Yeah. Which is, I just start walking around. I don't know people's names.
It's just dropping them?
Hey, Nike shirt. Yeah, pork chop sideburns. Come here. I've seen you here. I've seen you here since like 89. Have I not? Yeah. You're out. Get out. Get out of here. I'm faculty. I don't care. You're gone. Gone. You pack up. Pack up your sport coat with the patches on the sleeves. Throw it in the Nova your folks co-signed for, and get the F out. Everybody, any student I'd see wandering around, I would have kicked my mom out 30 years ago. My mom's still wandering the halls of my mom's ghost will haunt the halls of L.A. Valley College.
But what are you trying to get? I'm interested. I know you're not, Adam, but I am.
What's he trying to get? He's trying not to get a job.
I'm trying to get out.
You'll never get out.
With an associate degree?
Well, yeah. You first AA degree, and then you transfer.
To where? Where are you going to go?
Another junior
Cal State,
college.
LA?
Wants to go to Santa Monica Cal Junior College.
And then study what?
Program over there.
Study what?
Telecommunications.
Telecommunications. Yeah. Oh, that's bad.
It's not going to happen.
Why not?
Get a job. Get a job.
What am I doing?
Fight to keep it. You're 27.
Yeah.
Here's the whole thing. I would give you totally different advice,
by the way, but go ahead.
Okay, but here's what I'm saying. Why don't we start talking about the NBA or the
Wrong
NHL?
Major.
Why don't we talk about playing arena football? Something realistic. I'm saying, you're 27. It would have happened. You're on the cusp. Okay, here's what I'm going to say about you, Chris.
Okay.
You're on the cusp. You can look that word up later. If you,
I don't know what that means.
They have that place where they keep the books at
I'm on the
college.
Verge.
He's on the
Just
verge.
Use the internet. Forget that place.
Okay, here's what I'm saying. You're 27. By the time you're 28 and a half to 29, the window is painted and nailed shut. You can no longer get out of junior college. You can't get out of junior college. When you hit your 30s, that's it.
All right, so he's going to get out by
30.
Get out by next as fast as possible.
No, what I'm saying is I'm giving you 18 to 24 months to get out.
Okay.
If you don't get your ass together, get your associate degree and get the or AA or whatever the hell you get and get the S out of there, that's
it. I agree with you.
Then no more.
I agree.
Because you'll be in your 50s and then you don't even go home between classes.
Now, what should he study?
Understand?
When you get,
No, Drew, you don't understand.
No, I know.
You don't leave at night.
Yeah, you just stay there and
you sit there
line
and
of
you,
coffin.
You live off granola bars from the snack shack and you try to score weed.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. I'm telling you, if I ran the junior college, I would walk through, I would clean house every 7 years.
You start dropping people,
I think. You out. You gone. Yeah, four eyes.
But what should he study?
You over there, hacky sack. You're out.
What should he study?
You're doing nothing.
I should change my major?
Telecommunication, what do you get out of that?
Just get your general stuff as fast as you can and go to a real school.
Yeah, then study what, though? What should he study? Well,
look, that's 8 years away. We don't have to figure that out now. All right. Jeremy's left Jimmy Kimmel. He'll be here soon. Yeah, no S, Sherlock. Okay. My sister once said, no S, Dick Tracy. Well, how smart the Corollas are.
Nice.
Yeah. She knew enough not to go to junior college.
Do you think anybody should study telecommunications?
No.
Unless you're going to do the technical side
of it. Look, I don't care what he studies. What I need Engineer Chris to do, besides not talk, And he needs to pot things up. He needs to freshen up my coffee. What I need Engineer Chris to do, because I've taken him under my wing. He's like a little brother.
Yeah, you've been very helpful.
He's like a little brother to me that I've never actually seen outside the studio.
Yeah.
I'm going to need him to take his required classes, to focus on those, to knock those out as fast as he can, and to transfer to a regular
college. He's done that. I'm worried it'll come
out. Everybody who's wandering the halls like the cult of the damned, aimlessly wandering the halls of a junior college, is on that, Drew. Believe me. My mom's still on it. My buddy John, he's still on it. They're on it. Do not skip past that. This is what everyone does. Everyone's like, a couple of years over here, and then pow, I transfer. And then you see the calendar pages blowing by, and old man time, and beards growing, and volcanoes.
Yes. New islands forming,
or crust cooling, or Earth's core cooling, and stars, new galaxies forming, and more calendars, and they're still roaming the halls of the junior college. You take all the classes you have to. You hustle your ass out of there. And then when it's time to go to a real school, then you come talk to the Ace Man. We'll work one out for you. And I'm going to get you a sweater.
It
kind of has the pockets
that.
Like, and put like a Letterman type
Letterman
sweater.
Gym, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chicks dig that. All right. Now, what was I saying? Oh, Kimmel. Yeah. Jeremy Piven, man who's been in
everything.
Yeah, more movies than any actor.
He must be
born.
Promoting Entourage, though, because I read about him in the paper this morning. He's playing basically Ari Emanuel from Endeavor.
I don't know who what any it's, of that things a, you just said it, was.
And Entourage is a.
No, I don't know who Art Emanuel from Endeavor is.
It's the head of an agency in Hollywood.
Okay. Well, and, I'm supposed to know?
Yeah, I'd get to it. Relax.
Artie Emanuel?
Artie Emanuel, yeah. It was in the paper this morning. There's a whole big thing about it.
Papers, that LA, thing Los with Angeles words on yeah, it? Yeah, they keep in the place with the book sometimes?
They keep in the place with the coffee, usually.
Oh, that's really I know. That's the coffee
yeah,
house.
That's really
but what's the name of the place where they lend you the book?
Library.
It doesn't have the word book in it.
I know.
It's so confusing. I don't even know. They should put the word book in it. Okay. Here's my point. You don't get out of Kimmel without a little glad handing and a little elbow rubbing. And everybody can make it into Kimmel's dressing room.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're on the show, in the show, near the show, around the show.
Yeah.
You just walk in. His dressing room is packed full of people, people you've never seen before.
Yeah.
And they're not dressed that nice either. Really, it's just like hobos and people just lounging about and getting drunk on
this
Kimmel's
kind of, dime. It's very much of a real-life Entourage scene.
Mm.
Yeah.
Except for Jimmy doesn't know any of them. It's not a posse. Jimmy's in the next room hoping everyone leaves.
Yeah.
Jimmy's much more gracious about this than I would be. I would be walking around, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Out. You're all out of here. And there's literally 18 people packed into a room that it would comfortably hold five at the end of every show. I went there when I did the show last week. I had like 14 people I knew just pack in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy's no better guy at that than Jimmy, by the way, and no worse than me. There you go. And you remember that caller, Kitten, who called last night?
To show up?
She showed up.
Oh, my God.
I saw her at the Starbucks in Hollywood.
Was she cute?
Cute, but not more porn star cute, not high. Remember she said high fashion model, and I said that meant she was high?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with her. Pretty. And, you know, skinny, all that stuff. But we call her fashion model material, just attractive female material.
Mm.
And, you know, could do a little light porn, a little Cinemax porn.
Good times.
A little something when the detective.
Did you get the weird
ones that
trauma feel
detective
from her?
Porns?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, just yeah. Just a little deer in the headlights. And a little, it's always a little weird, too, because, hey, how you doing? Hey, great. Okay. Well, there you go. Tell you what. This is Hollywood.
Sure is.
All right. So,
glad you came out.
Not fishing for a BJ, so great. Okay, hey, fantastic then, right? Good then.
So she was relieved, of course.
So we'll see you soon. Yeah, gotta go. All right. That's
of course, your entourage behind you was like, what about us?
I had one husky rider who looked confused. Yeah. Like, what do? Just hook up with people from the radio? Her and her stripper friend.
Oh, is the stripper friend there, too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah. It's really, you know you're in Hollywood when you end the conversation with, Ryan Seacrest over, he's over that way. So if you want to check that out, there, it's over there. And we got to head back to the Kimmel show. Okay. And there they went. And I just punched
She'll be calling
tonight.
In tonight. Yeah, it was good. I appreciate that. It made me feel welcomed.
Yeah, nothing wrong with it.
She'll call in tonight and talk about her experience, I'm sure.
All right. Well, yeah. I welcome Kitten's call. Rachel?
Uh-huh.
You're 16?
Hello, yeah.
What's happening?
My boyfriend wants to have sex, and I've never, ever had sex before. And I've never even gotten a tampon in, so I really don't know what to do.
You don't want to have sex, I suspect, then, right?
I do, but I'm just a little nervous.
Well, wait, I imagine it's going to be something kind of painful for you. Why would you want to do that?
I'm not sure. I really don't know what to do. And
yeah.
I mean, I love him and everything, and I really want to do it, but then...
Why do you want to do it?
Because I care about him, and he told me that he wants to spend the rest of his life with me and everything.
Yeah, how old is he?
He's 11.
Yeah, the rest of my life with you is nonsense. Do not listen to that.
Okay.
That he may even feel it. He may even believe it when he says it. But no.
Okay.
Now, you sound like you're just completely unprepared to do this. and may have some sort of some vaginismus or some problem there that prevents you from doing it. So until you can really relax and you're really sure it's something you want to do, I would suggest you not even consider it. And it sounds also that the only reason you're even considering it is he is just pounding on you about it, and you think somehow it's important to him, therefore you should want to do it. You don't want to do that.
I know.
Yeah, all right. Be honest with yourself. Don't cave to that. That's fine. And if indeed he is the man that wants to spend the rest of his life with you, he will hang around.
I know.
All right. Relax. Take your time.
Okay.
All right. Found that depressing for some reason. I can't figure out why. What do you want? You want something?
Because we actually helped somebody, probably.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
I was reading Jeremy Piven's biography here.
That depresses you, too, because it's so extensive and he works hard. Remember how he works for his jobs?
Yeah, I remember that. Remember him flaunting that. Remember throwing that in my face.
Yeah.
By the way, he's a year younger than me, and he's done 750,000 movies.
Well, I think what you could do if you actually hustle a little bit.
It's crazy.
Or not even hustle, just woke up. You know, moved.
Let me explain something, and you know my policy regarding myself, which is I'm good. Everyone else, or most other people, aren't that good.
Therefore,
why should I be great? I could bust my hump and be great, but instead, I could show up at 2 months before the show starts, and I don't really work that hard.
No, I don't mean you should try. You should work at the jobs you actually get. How about just getting out and getting some jobs?
I know, but I can't audition.
I know.
Because it involves going places
and
getting in line.
Hey, speaking of which, you know something?
And you know what? You don't always get the gig.
Right, that's how it
works.
You
don't get paid.
It's amazing, huh? Hey, listen, that's how the world operates. The rest of us, yeoman. Hey, but listen.
Suckers, because I'm literally a millionaire.
Here's the deal. I was driving today, and I realized I've started driving a little bit wildly.
Yeah.
And I thought, what is this? And I'm in my head is this mantra, move your ass, move your ass.
Shake your ass.
Shake your ass.
Shake your ass.
And I'm angry that everybody, I'm thinking, my God, I wonder if you're having an effect on people.
No.
You know what I mean? If you are, you could be getting, I'm verging on dangerous driving.
Good.
Hey, that's not okay.
That's all right. A little stunt driving. Let me tell you something about cars. Your car has like 30 airbags and 15 crumple zones. You're fine. What you're driving basically is like one of those barrels they take down Niagara Falls. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a capsule.
Yeah, but
you're
fine.
You got curtain airbags.
Do you know if your body
do whatever you
wait,
want?
Wait. Do you know if your body goes from 50 miles an hour to stop?
Your aorta tears.
Yeah.
That's all right. Yeah, but let me tell you, you don't go. That's why you have a passive restraint system. You know, you don't just have a seatbelt that just belts you in.
I see.
Your seatbelt actually give a little.
Right.
Let
slows
you go
me down,
a little,
yeah.
And then you hit the airbag, and all is forgiven.
And I've got those braking systems.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine.
Someone shake my ass.
If your car rolls, it'll probably right itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go sick. That's all I'm telling everybody. Look, I understand when you got four bald tires on a VW Squareback, and the steering wheel essentially is a spear, and all you got between you and the bumper of the car that T-bones is a 16th of an inch of galvanized sheet metal. You're screwed, but. True. Anyone drives a new car, you got sidebar protection and crumple zones and skirt airbags and stuff. Go out there. Get sick. Go nuts. You're fine.
I'm just wondering if you've influenced the driving in Los Angeles, if things have not become perhaps a slight bit less safe.
No, I'll tell you why. A, no one listens to the show. B, the people I'm talking to definitely don't listen to the show.
Yeah, but the point is the ones you do are already scooting around pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I would encourage people to drive recklessly. Tracy?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yeah.
What's
How's
up?
How's it going?
Good.
I called tonight because I'm kind of confused about, like, some choices I've made with my relationships with the guys that I'm intimate with.
Mm-hmm.
I was dating a guy for, like, about 2 years, and we were engaged, and I found out he was doing heroin, and so I left him.
Mm-hmm.
He's since, over the past, like, 6-7 months, has, like I had to call the cops, and, like, he got put in jail, and then he went to, like, rehab, and now he's in, like, a halfway house, and I talk to him, and I see him, And I realize, like, I still really care about him, and I'd really love to be with him.
Sure.
And I want to, like, believe that people can change because I care about him so much.
They can, but if you're going to be with him, you have to change, too.
Yeah.
You must be in a program. You must be either with a therapist and or Al-Anon with a 12-step sponsor. Otherwise, this relationship will bring him back to heroin. I guarantee it.
Wow, really?
Well, the good thing they fixed the calls last night.
Yeah. All right.
We got the same problem tonight as we had last night.
Oh, who cares?
Oh, really?
All right. All right. So here's the thing. Yeah, if he's in a program and you're in a program and everyone's in a program.
She's not in a program.
Well, I know. He is, though, right?
Yeah. Right.
How long has he been in?
Since, like, the beginning of February.
How's he doing in the program?
He's been sober since February.
Yeah, but is he doing the work? Is he
concerned? Yeah. He is. Well. He was in, like, a rehab place, and now he's in, like, a halfway house.
Yeah, I understand.
All right.
That's all a good sign. But listen, the fit that you had when he was using will still be there if he allows himself to slide back into this relationship. And if he does, it will undo some of the work he does unless you grow to meet him where he's at in his recovery. Because it's a hard concept to understand, but people fit like a hand in glove. And the state he was in when he was using is the state you were in love with and that he might even want to get back to, and you certainly will unconsciously draw him back to, unless you yourself change so that hand glove fit is altered in his new, more sort of evolved state.
All right. I don't know what that means, but I'm sure it was eloquent, meant something to her. All right. And it was well said.
Thank you. I just wasn't paying attention. Cheers, mate.
I'm going through Jeremy Piven's resume here.
Your head exploded three times.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's Lucas, One Crazy Summer, Say Anything. The Grifters, The Player, Rugrats, Bob Roberts. I mean, there's a lot of good movies. Singles.
He was on Ellen Forever.
He was on Ellen Forever, which wouldn't be a bad name for a show. It just keeps going and going and going and going. It's crazy. There's like 60 movies here. Okay. Let's take ourselves a little break. What do you say, buddy boy?
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Engineer Chris is here.
That's right.
He's going to Pasadena City College. Drew's going to help pick out a new fall program for him, yes? Drew, nobody loves college more than Drew.
That's true.
Except for junior college shouldn't have the word college. We will, but the word junior, I'm okay with that part. It should just be called junior. Let's move on. We'll take ourselves a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. It's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jeremy Piven, actor, will be in here in just a couple of few. I'll tell you what, Drew. I had people have been listening know about a week ago. I had this hernia surgery. I peeled like some of the junk off of me, like you know, bandage wise. But then there's other stuff doesn't seem to be coming off.
That stuff that's taped down there.
Yeah, it's like
yeah. Let it come up by itself.
Really?
Yeah. It's Steri-Strips.
They're what?
Steri-Strips.
Sterilizing strips.
They're just called Steri-Strips. Just leave them on.
But they're not like butterfly bandages.
They're relative. Yeah, they'll fall off on their own.
So instead of putting a stitch in an incision,
they may just put a Steri-Strip on there. Yeah,
I think they put a stitch on the inside
that dissolves,
and then the strip hangs out for a couple of weeks and then falls off. You know, crazy. That's how crazy glue was invented, by the way.
How?
To close wounds.
They have. They have
like Vietnam.
They have a bunch of wound glues now too. In addition,
I mean, if you think about it, take a little crazy glue, put it between your thumb and your forefinger, put them together. You don't get it apart. Now, picture some guy out in the battlefield just stepped on a bouncing Betty. He's got a big flap of skin flying all over the place. You're trying to medevac him out of there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little crazy glue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, goes from that to the guy with the hard hat stuck to the I-beam.
Yes.
Remember him?
Nice, yeah.
Yeah.
The 70s.
Yeah, it was a good time. All right, let's... So I should let whatever's on me fall off.
On its own, yes.
Okay. And let me tell you, I mean, look at the belly here, Drew.
Yeah.
They could have done a better job.
With the shaving?
Yeah.
They should have just done the whole thing, right?
if you're going to do
the little
it,
landing,
yeah,
landing
the whole
strip
thing.
There looks a little weird.
Yeah, it's weird, and it like goes down, and it's very...
That's enough.
All right, very catchy.
I don't have
well,
to see your penis.
Part of it's coming... Yes, you do have to see my penis. Yes. Engineer Chris, you come here.
I can't stand it.
It's black and blue. It's crazy.
The penis is black and blue, too?
Yeah.
Now I want to see it.
My penis looked like it was like Tyson used it for a speed bag.
Like a barbershop pole or something.
Pummeled, yeah. But in the sack, it's blue.
Nice.
Ashley?
Yes?
Yeah. You know what it looks like? It's like a big... big set of purple figs just hanging between
That's
my legs.
Nice image.
Yeah, it's great. Ashley?
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, let me say this, too, Drew. How about a little heads up, by the way, when you go in and get your surgery next day when you're examining your junk, it's going to be a mess. I mean, you can have a blue sack.
Well, no, the blue sack, it's not necessarily the case, but yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You got one, though.
That'd go ahead and give you the option, though.
Well, they
you know what I mean?
You know they've been monkeying around down there.
I can do the math, but it's
might save
it's
them
concerning.
Some phone calls. Might save them a couple phone calls, huh?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. All right, Ashley, go ahead.
Okay. My boyfriend and I have been going out for 3 months, and I'm a virgin, and he's not, and he really is, like, pressuring me to have sex with him.
How old is he?
He's 16.
Mm. Yeah, you will regret it the rest of your life.
That's right.
I will.
Yes,
that's
you will.
That's right. And the rest of your life won't be long because he could give you AIDS and probably will. Because let me explain something. I don't care if you're a white virgin living in Arizona who's 14 years old. You have just as much chance of getting AIDS as if you're manning a glory hole in Tanzania. But it's no difference.
Hey,
there's no difference. I've seen the commercials, Drew. Everyone can get AIDS, and it's all the same. And it's straight, we can't judge. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what your culture is. It doesn't matter what kind of bizarre and gross activity you're engaging in. It doesn't matter. We could all get AIDS tomorrow. You're heterosexual. You think you're in a monogamous relationship. You better use a condom, mister. You could get yourself AIDS tonight. Do you understand? It's all of us. It's all
Ashley,
the same.
Hold on a second.
There's no difference.
This international AIDS
Anybody.
Conference they're having right now where they're deciding whether or not to allow people to talk about condoms as a way of helping prevent AIDS.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Let me just say something. Here's my international AIDS conference. Hey, all you whackball countries over there, if you want to call yourself countries such as Africa, stop porking and raping everybody. Put the goddamn Jimmy on and shut up. You're not going to get any money from us, you retards. I would just like, I mean, here's my AIDS conference. Listen, all you screwball countries. Look, see the calendar? 2004, you idiots. I don't know where you guys are. You're somewhere in the 50s, 1850s. You're beating the drum. You're looking at the sky. Put the stupid condom on. Stop effing everybody. Let's go. I don't know. AIDS cannot be controlled in Africa, and somehow that's our fault. We did it to them. We're not doing enough for them. How about someone goes over there and yells at them? Attention, tards. Knock it off. Oh, no, we've got to figure out a way to convey. Why do we got to figure out a way? What the hell do we do? Why did we invent everything that's bad? And why does every effed up culture around the country and around the world that's doing their own crazy thing, killing themselves, why does that land in our to-do basket? Why is that in our in basket? You screwballs want to kill yourselves? Fine. You're not getting any money from us. Why are we bad people for not stopping idiots from doing idiotic things who pray to retarded gods and have bizarre ritualistic things that are millions of years old in a culture that's like as old as the Stone Age? Why is that our fault? We have to figure out a way to convince these people. Let them figure it out. Let somebody else figure it out. And by the way, when we figure it out, everyone just gets pissed off at us anyway. Screw you. Here's some condoms. Start using them, you idiots. I don't know what you're doing over there. I don't know. And by the way, we can't judge. We can't judge.
How dare you?
Everyone's raping everybody. No one's using protection. Everyone's passing this disease around like it's a joint at a Doobie Brothers concert. But there'd be no judging. No. It's impossible to judge. I'm judging.
Thing.
You're idiots. Can we start judging? Maybe we should judge. Here's the judgment. Jack-offs. Stop it. You're... You retards? All right, are we giving you no money? Jeremy Piven is here, by the way. Yeah, we cannot judge. We can't judge. Everything's the same. All the culture's the same. It's all great. So, Ashley.
Yes.
Yeah, you could get AIDS.
Vash, if AIDS or not, you're probably
going to get AIDS.
The rest of your life, wish you waited longer. I've never met a woman who had sex at 14 that was glad she had done that. That woman does not exist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I have another question.
This is a big 2 years, by the way, the 16 to 14.
Yeah.
What's
up? What's your other question?
Okay. He says that, because I'm also worried about getting pregnant, and he says that a couple days after my period, there's like. Yeah. Practically no chance of me getting pregnant.
Yeah, he's not right. It's less chance, but relax.
No, he's kind of right. I mean, look, give the guy his props. He's
we'll have sex during the period then.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you guys so much.
All right. Good. Just don't do it. Please don't
stop. Please, everyone stop having sex with me. and the people who I want to watch have
and
sex. Yes. Jeremy Piven here, everybody. How was Kimmel? Did you have a good time?
Kimmel was fantastic.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. It is a show. I was listening to your show, and you were saying that it wasn't a show. It's more of a party, but it is a party and a show.
Yeah.
Together.
It's a shardy.
Right. It is a shardy.
It's a shardy.
Yeah.
Come join the shardy.
You're going to party like it's your shardy.
Here's the thing about the Kimmel show. Lots of people. Nobody wants to go home. Everyone likes to have a little booze afterward. And after the show, it's like 9 o'clock. Everyone's been there since 9:30 in the morning, and no one's going anywhere. They're just hanging around the green room eating.
I've noticed a lot of the guests start hammering before they go on.
I have noticed that.
Yeah,
I have noticed
that. The adult beverages are flowing like mud around that place.
Yeah, it really is. I understand the booze, the weed part. That's the part. Like, you
let's
know
just
the,
snoop.
Well, no. There are guys like they're stand-up comics who blow a spleef and then go out and do an hour and 20 minutes. Like, I just go out there. There'd be like 10 seconds of silence. Then you just see a wet stain in my crotch. And then I would start weeping and I would run.
Everyone reacts differently to THC, which is fascinating to me.
Yeah, I don't mind getting stoned and going on a road trip or something, but I'm not going to like stand in front of 1,300 people and try to do an hour's worth of comedy.
That's the marijuana addict's thing, which is that they feel more effective and they feel quite focused and less anxious. And that's why they use that drug, because it works for them.
I'm always amazed that they do that. Like,
yeah, it's amazing.
Hot brownie and go do an hour at Largo.
I've never, taken herbal medication, but... I have a friend who, when they take it, instead of getting hungry, they don't get hungry.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it actually increases their energy instead of dulls
it. That's common.
Really?
It is?
Mm-hmm. That's common.
Well, like black guys don't get hungry when they get stoned. Look at Snoop.
What does that mean?
I'm telling you.
Strange comment.
Well, here's what I'm saying. No, I figured this out. White guys get the munchies. Black guys, you don't see... First off, Snoop Dogg smokes 2 kilos of weed a day. He's 130 pounds. He's 6'4". You know what I'm saying?
You've never seen him with a brownie.
You don't see black guys getting stoned.
He's like 48% whippet. He's not an African-American, by the way.
You may be right. But the point is black guys don't get stoned and go, we got to go on a run. We got to go on a burger run. They don't. They just get stoned and they hang out. They don't eat.
I see a lot of the brothers at In-N-Out Burger.
They're eating... I'm not saying a black man can't eat when he's stoned. I'm saying white guys get stoned and get the munchies.
They got it.
White guys go like, we're going now.
They go
we're stoned.
Yeah.
We're going to eat. Black guys like, we're stoned. If it's lunch, we're eating. If it's not, we're just going to keep smoking more weed. But they don't get the munchie thing that the white man gets. We're weaker. I'm saying we're inferior race that way. We're slave to the drug. We're slave to the
munchies.
And
you're a shower, not a grower. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Wait a minute. What?
I don't know what that is. But I will smoke some weed.
By the way, Jeremy, Adam is still ruminating about the last time when you were here when you announced to him how hard you work for every audition.
I was heartbroken.
He's not gotten over that. So the idea of work, Adam, is a very touchy subject.
Last time Jeremy Piven was on this program, I said to him, how is it that you've made you know, 50 films in the last 17 years. And he said, I work very hard at the audition process. I get off copy. I get the script. I memorize it. I work it. I work it with my coach.
And
sometimes
you kill
I
it.
Go in there and I hit it out of the ballpark. I impress people. And I was sickened by that
He
statement.
Barfed that night. He threw up later on that the same night.
I was hoping.
But was it a turning point in your life or you don't care?
He's just been ruminating.
I rebelled. No, yeah. I turned
less.
Against you.
He works less.
Yeah, I work less. No, I thought you were going to say your dad was the king of show business or something like
that. See,
that
would be
That's
easier
what I was
for you. Up.
That, it would it, be it, so much easier if you just said your dad right. was the mayor of show business or something.
No, but if you also challenged yourself, you would probably go to the next level. That's what happens with everyone.
I know, but I don't want to challenge myself.
Okay,
I'd
that's
like
cool
to ratchet
too.
It down. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm looking for ways to not challenge myself.
Adam's idea is about efficiency, not about work.
Okay.
Yeah,
efficiency
yeah.
of movement, of breath.
I would go on a thought. I would go on an audition if they would guarantee me I would get the part before I did the audition.
You would not. Then you would say, "Why do I need to go?"
That's right.
It's, you would not go.
It's a festival of humiliation to walk in those rooms and dance for
that's
Whitey.
No, that's not the issue.
It is.
The issue is just getting off his tush and going.
But you know what it is?
Yes.
If you did do it, put the work in, and then
he's already lost you. He's gone.
Okay.
He lost him.
But what I'm saying is, just for the hell of it, just step out there and do it. Mm-hmm. It would ultimately be so gratifying. You might kind of almost get addicted to it.
But do you still? And I know the answer is yes. You still go out on auditions, but after your resume reading. I mean, there's not a casting agent alive that isn't incredibly familiar with your work. And don't it at a certain point, they just go, Jeremy Piven work nicely here, and let's just go get him?
And this is going to make you, I'm sorry, but more sick. Okay, here it comes.
He insists on the audition.
No, can you imagine? I insist on working. I will not take the job. I need to prove it, my good man. No, here's what happens. I'm not kidding now.
Mm.
Jeremy,
he doesn't take charity, Adam. He has to work for his.
Just
for his
let him talk. I'm going to have some water in his
okay.
tank.
I didn't get a job one time, went in there and busted my ass, and then I was really confused about it, and someone showed me the breakdown, and it said, Jeremy Piven type. Is
right.
what they were looking for.
You mentioned this.
Yes.
Right.
So I have not gotten the job when I say Jeremy Piven type. So it happens. This will make you feel better.
Please.
Entourage, mm-hmm. I did not have to audition for.
Right. And that's...
But here's what happened. Here's what happened, which is interesting. They said, come in and read for it. And initially, it was ensemble piece, and it would be maybe a couple scenes a week and really like kind of a sixth lead kind of a vibe. And, you know, I did Larry Sanders, I was a regular on Larry Sanders 10 years ago doing, you know, and I love that show. And I figured, you know what, I'd love to meet these guys and talk about it, but I don't want to go on an audition. That's where I put my foot down.
Yeah.
And my agency at the time, William Moore, said, no, you got to go in and dance for Whitey. You got to do it. And I said, you guys just, you know, let's play hardball with them. Finally, they did. I went in and met with them for a while.
And auditioned.
Okay. And no, we just went, met, kicked it around, talked about the role, and then I got a call from my agent saying, well, two things. I said, what? They go, number one, they want to offer you the role. Number two, they want to make the show about you, which is really interesting because but 8 minutes ago, they were like, you got to come in and dance for Whitey. That's it.
Right.
And so I finally put my foot down, and you know, at a certain point, and I think maybe I'm kind of almost at that point now where I've got to stand up for myself and say, yeah. I put some work out there, and here's my reel. Take a look at it, and let's sit down and kick around ideas about the show.
And there's a difference between doing TV and doing movies, too. I mean,
now in Entourage, you're playing partner of Endeavor talent agency.
No, it's so interesting.
The paper was explicit about it today.
I know that she duped me. Here's what they said to me: we're doing an article about Entourage. And we're skewing it more towards you. We really dig some of the stuff you did in the show. I said, great. We sit down. All of a sudden, I pick up the paper, and it's the stuff about Ari Emanuel. I mean, they duped us. Look, Mark Wahlberg's agent is Ari Emanuel, right?
Yeah.
If you see this character, you know, and if you know Ari, this, you know, this isn't, I'm not stealing all of Ari's stuff. The thing is, you can get an inspiration for an agent. If the three of us went out tonight, we can run into 14 agents, you know, in the next hour, and all of them can, you know, be inspiring in terms of grabbing different things. This is you write about the truth as you know, and you play.
Adam has always been inspired by agents.
I
those
love
are the words, two words go together.
I'm sorry. Not inspired by them, but if you indeed were playing one, you know, you spend a few minutes with them.
Yeah.
You know, and
give
they say things like, you know, let's put a pin in that idea. You know, I hope we're on the same page.
Yeah.
You know, listen, let's put you on a short list.
I like.
You know, they say things like that,
like,
and they
the
twitch
the
a
day,
lot.
Piven.
Right at the end of the day, I want to wear a buttery sweater and be in the Jeremy Piven business.
Piven,
you know?
Piven don't roll over in bed for under $50K. All right.
They cross their arms, they twitch a lot, and they don't care about you. And it's an interesting, you know.
Listen, I make my agent call me Baby Doll. I like it. James Baby Doll Dixon, he calls me Baby Doll.
Oh, that's so funny.
That's I insist on.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, we
got to
take a break.
Well, is your agency Epstein and Barr? What's the name of your agency?
I like that.
It's good. That's a good
we'll take ourselves a little break. Jeremy Piven is here. Entourage, name of the show, Sunday, July 18th. That is this Sunday, HBO, 10 o'clock. Going to be the next big HBO hit. We will take ourselves a break, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jeremy Piven here tonight. Entourage, name of the new show, 10 o'clock on HBO, Sunday night. Coming up this Sunday, premiering this Sunday. And I don't, you know, it's like, I don't know if anyone's going to catch HBO anymore. I mean, like they won, like, you know, nominated for, like, 100 Emmys last year. And, like, ABC got four, and they're in the technical categories and stuff. Like, is it...
this is a smart idea, this show.
It is.
Very
well,
smart.
Most of their ideas, most of the things they do are smart, or at least if they're not smart, they're so well executed that they're incredibly watchable. It doesn't matter whether it's, you know, 10 feet under or Sopranos
six
or whatever.
Feet.
Six whatever. Feet under, sorry. Or Sopranos or whatever. But the point is you know, I wonder if... here's what I think about when I think about, like, HBO versus, you know, networks, ABC and stuff like that. It's sort of like what the Japanese were doing to the car market like the early 70s.
Yes.
It's like these little fuel-efficient little things started creeping in, and the Americans were very cocky about it. Like, oh, we'll just keep making big gas-guzzling, ugly pieces of... And these things started trickling in, and it was like, eh, don't worry. And before you know it, they had 80% of the market because nobody made a move.
And then
they started to make a move, and by then they were a day late and a dollar short.
Yeah.
And now, 20 years later, they're sort of catching back up. I wonder what the networks need to do, and if they're seeing this, and what they're doing about it.
Well, what's fascinating to me is the networks don't even seem to, you know, look at their own history, you know, to learn kind of like what works and what doesn't. They don't even study, like, you know, their own evolution. I mean, if you look at the shows that are the most successful, you know, Seinfeld, all these shows out of the gate were not hits, none of them. They stayed with it. They had some faith in them. But unfortunately now the turnover rate is so fast with these executives that are running the network. They don't get, you know, they've got to, like, make moves fast. So they can't kind of, like, stick their necks out, as they think of it, and get behind a show and move it around until it catches on.
Cable can do that, right?
And what HBO does, and I almost feel like I manifested this job just because I'm such a fan of the HBO shows right now.
Yeah,
you know, I you know,
everything's good.
It really is so unbelievably watchable, you know. And I follow them all. I mean, I remember being at the premiere of 6 Feet Under, and Alan Ball saying, you know, he got one note from HBO, and that was to make it edgier. Like, I mean, can you imagine a network say, you know, saying that? And it doesn't happen. They celebrate the creators. And also, I will say that they, you know, because being on Larry Sanders 10 years ago, they get out.
Over 10 years now?
Yeah.
Done 10 years?
Yeah. No, I was on it. It started 10 years ago.
Right. It didn't finish 10 years ago.
I did the first few years, yeah.
It finished 13 years ago. Don't ask. It's weird. It's weird how it moved backwards.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's TV math. TV math is crazy.
Did Larry Sanders start on? Was it HBO or Showtime?
It started on HBO. It was, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was kind of the show that kind of kicked off original programming on HBO.
Yes.
And in the beginning, we couldn't book anyone. And it was just tough because it was like, what's that show? We were trying to, you know, book people from the behind-the-scenes stuff. And you couldn't get anyone to do it. And, it, you know, it caught on, and then it was great. But they didn't, you know, not a lot of people had HBO back in the day. And now, you know, I've been on a bunch of shows before, but I've never, ever, in all the shows I've done, ever had a lead in like this. You know, 6 Feet Under, this is a great celebrated show.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of amazing.
All right.
And they do get out of your way. I think the variable with HBO is they, you know,
they let them run.
They do. Yeah. They're choosy. You know, I mean, there's one show they picked up for the season, and it's Entourage, and they kind of like let us do our thing, and they definitely had notes, but they're not there on the set all the time breathing down your neck. You feel like you have, you know, room to breathe.
Right. And one of those suits, as Drew and I call them, ever really added anything to any any project. All right, let's talk to Lacey for like 10 seconds, and then we'll go to break. Lacey?
Hi.
You're 15?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
You hate your controlling dad.
Kind of. I've got to give you a bit of a more coverage on that.
Yeah, we'll have to talk after
all right,
the break.
We've got to take a break because we run late, and then we get up to the end of the hour.
And then you take a call, wisely.
Because you know why? Because when the program director yells at me, I can technically say we did take a call this break, even if it was us telling Lacey to hang on because we didn't have time for her. So hang on, Lacey.
I will.
All right?
Uh-huh.
All right, Jeremy Piven here tonight from Entourage, HBO, on Sunday nights, 10 o'clock. Take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jeremy Piven is here tonight, the busiest man in show business. And nice transition back to television. I mean, I would say a guy's done as many features as Jeremy has done, and then as many television shows as Jeremy has done. Going back to television and doing it on HBO and doing it Sunday night, the coveted Sunday night slot, 10 o'clock. Entourage is a good way to get back into television. And Jeremy, I think I brought this up last time we were here. We worked on a project together called Judgment Night.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy has been released.
It's now on DVD. Now it's getting a big push on DVD.
I should get some money for that. Yeah, because Jeremy was actually in the movie. And I was next to the movie as one of the stand-ins
One
of the bad guys in Judgment Night. And
this was what, 19?
I would say 93.
93.
And could have been 92, could have been 93. Jeremy was in it.
You take a note, Dennis, Chris? Dennis, see, he was 29 at the time.
Dennis Leary was in it. Cuba Gooding Jr. was in it. Emilio Estevez was in it. And Everlast from House of Pain.
Wow.
One of the bad guys. I was one of the bad guys stand-ins. Stand-in, cush gig, by the way. If you're lazy, you just stand there. You literally,
Then you go to the cart, the food.
Then you just go eat.
Yeah.
And if you're smart, you get one of the other stand-ins to, like, you know, work the watch, which is, I'm going to take a nap over here by the catering truck. Come get me if they come screaming. Because if you don't show up, they get PO'd.
Yeah.
See, but is it, answer me truthfully.
Yeah.
Would it be more fun just to be a piece of veal? You know what I mean? Because that's what it seems like. Or you know, and I know that you break into a sweat when you start talking about work, but ultimately the highs are really high.
Yeah.
But it's standing in and just standing around, you know, like cattle and then going and grazing.
Yeah.
The payoffs aren't so great.
I'll tell you, the rush of standing in, Drew. If you haven't experienced the sheer, it's a pure shot of adrenaline when that director yells, "Hey, what's your face over here? Come here!" And then you stand there. And for me, it was funny because
Isn't there a euphemism? Don't they go second team?
Second team. Yeah, they should just call you JV. Yeah.
Right.
I was standing. I only got the gig because my buddy Robbie Levine was the second AD on the movie. Jewish guy in the industry, Drew.
I can't believe that.
All right. Point is he got me the gig out of the goodness of his own heart, and I was standing in for a guy who was 4 inches taller than, and who had hair down to the back of his middle of his back, and I had a short haircut. And I just remember the lighting director the first day I showed up just sort of slowly scanning the group. If you remember, like the guy who stood in for Dennis Leary looked exactly like Dennis Leary. You kind of have to look like the guy so they can light you.
Yeah,
your height, your build, your hairstyle, whatever. I looked here. He did that move where he panned across, he passed me, and then went back to me and gave me like a who are. And then somebody like yelled something, and he gave me like a whatever. I could just stand there.
But you've been freaking that guy out ever since.
I'm sure. Like, how did the guy with the short hair who's 6'2 get the stand-in job for the guy who's 5'8
and now why
hair?
Is he talking about sexual disorders and he's a celebrity, he's living the dream, and I'm lighting a tampon commercial. See what happens?
That's right. He's lighting a tampon commercial.
Wait, but by the way, speaking of that, I just bought a house.
You did?
I was talking with your buddy about this on national television this evening. A lot of terrible mishaps happen, one of them being that DirecTV keeps threatening to actually come to my home and install something for me, mm-hmm. and I want to give them U.S. currency, but they refuse to actually show up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll wait 5-6 hours, and they just don't show up, and the joke's on me.
Right.
And I just want to have some channels so that I can watch my show.
Sure.
Or maybe have some friends over.
Right.
But apparently that's not right for them, and I can't figure it out.
Well, here's the unfortunately, the worst news. If you instead invite a cable company over, You'll be like a skeleton with your clothes hanging out. You'll be gone. You'll be dead.
You look like the Grim Reaper. Here's the thing. The cable. Here, okay. Yeah. This is very, don't get me started. But the cable. First off, years ago, before there was satellite, there was only cable, and the window. Like you would call the cable company, and they'd literally say 8 a.m. to 6 p.m.
You sit there and wait.
Is the window, and it'd be like, I got to go to work. And they'd be like, yeah, no, we got like a 14-hour window. And I said, that's not a window. That's a sliding door. That's a huge opening. That's not a window. But a window is a small opening in the side of something. That's a gaping hole. That's ice. That's what the iceberg did, that the Titanic-sized mammoth hole, by the way. And they're like, yeah, well, that's it. And by the way, this wasn't for tomorrow. This was 2 weeks. And I was like, don't you guys have... Do you have ledgers and books and things where you can put, like, dates and times? Do you have anything that you could write stuff down? I mean, what a job where you just tell people, look, I'll have a guy somewhere between sun up and sundown 2 weeks from now, maybe, if everything lines up.
I've been waiting around, and when you continue, because although I'm on a show called Entourage, I don't have an entourage. I don't have an assistant. I don't have a hair tinting consultant or a blazer consultant or an integrity consultant. So I sit at my own home waiting, and the joke has been on me repeatedly. And so the second day after waiting for that six-hour gaping wound, gash, hole, the joke's on you. Situation, I decided to take a little bit of a run. So I started running down my street, and every van that would pass me, I started screaming at, thinking that they would possibly be DirecTV. So they've actually made me insane. Now I'm a guy who literally just runs up and down my street.
Yelling at vans.
Verizon! Hey, Verizon! Hello!
Yeah.
I'm screaming, Verizon, I'm not even waiting for Verizon. Anyway, but I'm going to loop it around.
Heroin. They know they have you. What are you going to do? Watch UPN? You know what I'm saying? They know they got you by the short hairs. That's the thing. It's
so
like
what happened?
They realize they're the candy man.
You're arrested? Heroin.
You
what
wait
happened?
For them.
I know.
You finally get arrested? Do they come around?
They never came around. Nothing happened. I have nothing. I have no.
Where's your home?
I bought a home. So the good news is I live in Malibu.
That's good.
So I'm living the dream. So I have a nice house with no television. And they also shut my water off. I can complain about a lot of stuff, but I don't care. But I do celebrate indoor plumbing, but I don't have it. But here is something. I walked outside of my house, and I was like, I'm doing a movie right now about the competitive world of bar mitzvahs. It's called Lucky 13. And it's really, really funny and great. And my father, being played by Gary Marshall, left my character 15 years ago and abandoned me, and I'm very bitter, and I've never kind of resolved it. And he come my and my son, who's going to have this bar mitzvah, invites him to it, unbeknownst to me. He shows up. I haven't seen him for 15 years with his new girlfriend, Daryl Hannah, who's brilliant in this thing, plays this kind of spiritually enlightened kind of chick who's just wandering around Sacred Feather. And so I walk outside of my house, and I was like, oh my God, there's Daryl right there. And I was like, hey, Daryl. And I walk up to Daryl, and it turns out there's this girl named Ireley who lives in Malibu who is Daryl's stand-in.
Oh, wow.
And I just and literally she is an absolute dead ringer.
Yeah.
And at that in that day they were looking for a double for Daryl because she had to be naked in a jacuzzi with Gary Marshall, which is an interesting concept.
She needs the double.
Yeah. Well,
no, Gary doesn't need a double. It is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
You know.
He played baseball, Gary. I didn't know she was shy, by the way, Daryl Hannah. I mean,
no, so the end of the story is she's not shy. She's a lovely, unbelievably talented, beautiful woman who has long, luscious hair to cover her areolas. Is that
right?
The word?
That's it. Okay. That's what they are. I like them big. That's me. I'm one of the few guys who's into that.
That's
all
right.
Going.
I'm a fan.
I like it. It's the size of the satellite dish that you never got.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I like
well, no, why do men have nipples?
Why do men have them?
Yeah.
All mammals have them. We just didn't evolve them away.
We're working on it, though.
Yes, we're working on that.
My son's going to be born with one, and it's going to be on his forehead. All right. Let's take some calls. Come on, buddy. Let's break it down.
Here we go.
Jeremy Piven's here, and I'll tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm clapping right now.
Here's the problem with Jeremy Piven. He loves the sound of his own voice. I love the sound of his own voice. I love the sound of my own voice.
See, but you keep saying my name. No one actually knows who I am.
They do now.
No, we may have to tell them where they know me from, because I swear to God, when I was calling DirecTV, they kept saying, okay, here's the deal, Mr. Tiven. They kept calling Mr. Tiven, and they said, Mr. Piven, we can't find him, Mr.
Jerry,
Piven.
Jerry
I said,
Lewis,
it's Piven. It's Piven. It's Craig Tiven, Jeremy Piven, Francis Pivenhole.
The
awful.
The nutty professor picked up the phone. Here's the thing. There's some sort of cosmic law that people that you need help from over the phone never know who you are, and security guys never know who you are. Like anybody who's standing.
And the girl who you really want to talk to, she'll never know.
Right. She doesn't know either.
No, there's no way.
So those are the three people. All right. Other than that, you're huge. Lacey?
Hi.
You're 15?
Uh-huh.
So you have a controlling dad.
Yeah, he's more manipulative, really.
Mm-hmm. And you're 15 and you sound older. You sound angry.
Not really. I just kind of, a lot of stuff happened and everything when I was little that kind of messed me up. I'm in counseling, just so you know.
Good. What happened?
Basically, my dad had an affair, and he was giving the woman he was seeing like $500 each time they met, so it put us like $50,000 in debt. So we've kind of got a problem with that, and
yeah. Well, that's called seeing a prostitute. That's not having an affair.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, yeah. He was trying to impress her and everything, make it seem like he was rich. I guess I don't know, but
okay.
A while after he moved out and everything, and they got the divorce, my parents.
Yeah.
My sister was diagnosed autistic, so she.
Hold on. Don't you get that label slapped on you pretty early?
A couple years old.
Oh, you do? It takes a while?
Sometimes. She was four when they diagnosed her, but she starts...
Really, they call it, there's probably an Asperger syndrome, really, right?
No, not really. She was like a normal kid and everything until she was two, and then she just like stopped developing.
Yeah.
She stopped talking, and she just kind of cut off eye contact, and she didn't really like being around people.
Is autism kicks in that way? I thought you were just born with
it.
It just kicks in.
It sort of kick in sometimes.
Wow.
Some people believe that it might have something to do with some environmental agent or something.
They think it's to do with vaccinations. Like,
well, that actually has been ruled out. That has been finally ruled out as a cause.
Really?
Hold on one second. I've been talking about this at the Kimmel show with the writers, and if I ever get another gig, first thing I do is I'm going to let the boss know that I have a kid at home with special needs.
Because you have to leave early.
Whatever, and I'll play that card like four times.
And don't have to go
to
auditions then, I suspect.
And it's just going
to,
and I'm just saying, if you...
How does that work karmically for you, do you think?
I don't think it's a good thing. I don't think it's a good thing.
Since when do you have to take those kinds of things into consideration?
Huge dividends. When you do that knock on the boss's door with the back of the finger where the door's cracked open and you lean in, and, Phil, can I talk to you a second? Yeah, Marshall's not having a real good day. Say no more. And I just
it's
leave.
Sort of in the same leave. Category as women problems, female problems.
Yeah, woman starts talking about
menses and things. The guys, are like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever.
You can leave. Yeah, I'm just saying. I agree with Jeremy. It's not great from a karma standpoint, but practically it's
effective.
Huge.
It's effective.
If you start a new job and you just let it be known, and you can be ambiguous, just say that you have a special needs child at home. Marshall's a strong name. I have a special
needs
child.
But maybe your inner child has special needs, which you do.
Which
you seem like you
indeed.
Do have special
right.
needs.
Yeah, you don't have to make it clear.
That's, okay. So you're not then actually lying.
I
get it.
That has special needs. No one's. And by the way.
And then when they say you don't have a child with special needs, you say semantics, fuckface.
Oh.
Oops. Oh. I'm sorry. Is that wrong?
The F part was, yeah. The notion was the strong one. It's just
now, what happens when I say that?
Somebody bleeps it out somewhere.
And you have to leave.
No.
You get to stay. I know, because you want to leave. That's the joke on this show. It's like a date with a fat chick. It's like, we're going to have to cut it short. Great, lard ass. You hear the car peeling out. Yeah, it's like I'm threatening people. Yeah, it's 12:30. I'd like to get the hell home and cuss in peace.
We gotta now, do you guys do you ultimately get punished for that kind of stuff?
For profanity?
Yeah.
No, because we will. The engineer will. We'll drop that out, and
there's like a 17-second delay on the show.
Also, we're in what we call safe harbor, which is 10 o'clock at night. Which is we exclusively have 13-year-olds listening to the show, but somehow we can say whatever we want at this time, and you know Howard Stern can't say what he wants at 8:30 in the morning when they're all heading to school. So,
but wasn't it 11 seconds before Janet Jackson?
It was 7 seconds before them.
Oh,
it was like 6 or 7, yeah. And we keep getting them. Ours is up to 2 days. This show actually airs. Actually, it's Friday.
It's spring.
Is it funnier then?
Oh, five.
Do they make it funny?
We clean it up, but it's only 11 minutes long.
Okay.
Yeah, we tighten it up.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Do we still have a caller?
Yes, we do. We got. So all I'm saying is if you got a new job, right. Let the boss know you have someone
so
at home
what
with special
we talking
needs.
To Lacey
that's
about
that's all I'm
completely
saying.
Completely forgotten.
All right, Lacey.
So
she's mad at her dad.
The cheating dad.
Yeah, and so basically when we got my sister, her name's Sammy. When we got
her
all
figured out.
That's a good
name for that.
Huh?
Good. That's good.
Yeah. She was autistic, all right.
Right?
Yeah. Well, so my dad put us in a lot of debt and everything, so my mom kind of had to work a lot so that she could keep us pretty much off the street.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we had like a really wealthy, like, my great-grandfather, and he kind of helped us out here and there, but my mom didn't really, like, ride it, like, you know. Like it was.
All right, hold on. I can't take any more, Lacey. I'll tell you what I'm hearing with Lacey. Someone is really angry, and, you know, we talk to people all day who are physically abused, sexually abused, ritualistically abused. Lacey stuff, like her dad, not a great guy. Lacey didn't have it as bad as Lacey has it in her. She's really angry. Yeah. I don't know why she's going this route.
Let's get to the question here.
Go ahead, Lacey.
Okay. Well, so my mom was working and everything, and I was kind of helping out with my sister. And I know. I'm not going to say that yet. God.
Who's that? Is that your mom?
Yeah, she wanted to come in and everything, and I thought she was going to say that, you see, they're saying you're angry, ha, because she says that a lot.
Yeah, we are. Put her on the phone. Let me talk to her.
Come on, Lacey, please. We want to talk to your mom.
Okay, just a moment.
I want to hear some tips on the special needs thing.
Yeah, I know.
Come here.
Mom left.
Mom, they want to talk to you.
Ran out screaming.
Turn off the radio.
First off, that's letting your kid call this show is, I consider, abuse, by the way.
Hello.
Hello, Lacey's mom?
Yeah, this is her mom.
All right, and you've been saying Lacey's angry as well, right?
Yeah, one of our issues is I've been trying to have her have a relationship with her dad because I think it's for the best interest in her well-being to have a father figure.
Well, she's carrying resentments, very heavy resentment. She strikes us as somebody who's been a little bit parentalized.
Ooh.
You know, that she sort of had to carry a burden early, didn't get maybe the childhood needs met.
Well, she has a Sammy, her sister.
Yeah, she had to take care of and carry a burden that was undoubtedly difficult and traumatized and whatnot. But at some point, the resentments will eat her up alive.
And that's what I try to tell her, that regardless of the one thing that she wants to share with Adam is her dad is,
not yet. You won't start She doesn't want me to because she says Adam will not stop ranting. Her dad is a cable guy in L.A.
Well, no. He'll just want to try to set Jeremy up.
Yeah.
Get Jeremy hooked up here.
She just didn't want me to say it because he was kind of ranting about it before she got on.
I know.
He's done.
I'll love my daughter between 6 a.m. and when the streetlights come on.
2 weeks from Friday.
Exactly. 2 weeks from Friday.
Exactly. Yeah. Be quiet.
Okay, so look, here's the thing. When your daughter called, she's 15. She sounded like she was 35.
It's that parentalization.
That grew up too early, too fast, whatever. Yeah, and that anger, she's going to carry that into a relationship with men, and she's going to hook up with a philanderer.
She may not be able to identify it as anger. It's hard to focus on it as a resentment for her. And resentments are things you can let go.
Right. Yeah.
And she should find a way to do that, to make her life narrative her own and something that she can live with.
And was your husband really spending $500 a pop on his girlfriend?
Yes. He was trying.
He's a cable guy.
The smartest girl in the world because he drove a Toyota Tercel. And she believed that he had money because he was giving her money.
How did he get $500 to
he
give her?
He put us in debt, a lot of debt.
We had good credit
at the time, and he basically borrowed it to get us into a bad situation.
All right.
Is he an alcoholic or drug addict or something?
He's a sex addict.
Yeah, that's addict behavior, that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, it's basically a lot of pornography and stuff that he got into. Yeah,
there you go.
Imagine what this guy was doing to the panty drawers of every house he went into to install the cable.
With his cable, I'm sure.
Just rifling through there like a raccoon in a dumpster.
I'll put a panty sale in front of my house if they come and fix my cable. I don't care. Tell them to come to my house, man.
Sure. Come see Jeremy.
Are you kidding, man?
Imagine that guy just like a couple of chick roommates living in an apartment. He's going to put some cable in.
Yeah, you guys go. I'll take care of things.
You guys
go downstairs.
You got to go to the market? Oh, you run down the laundry room? Yeah, I'll be up here. I'll just be putting in some coaxial. Yeah, that's it. Coaxial. He's probably just diving into the bedroom, just taking everything, just burying his head in the hamper, dancing with soiled panties on his head. A jig. Actually, I would do that. I'm not even
I know.
A sex
I think yes. I think you're sort of acting a fantasy of your own.
Okay,
out here.
Maybe that was becoming too cathartic. Geez. But listen, Lacey's mom.
Yeah.
Okay. You got yourself out of this bad situation. Yeah, Lacey should repair her relationship with her father, but maybe her father should be going to SA or something like that.
And maybe she should go to a little Al-Anon or something. Something where she can sort of come to terms with
it. He doesn't feel like he has a problem. And my question for you and her issue with me is I want her to try and have a relationship with him, and she doesn't want to. And I want to know, should that be something that I should try to have her have with him, or should I let it be?
Let it gently keep the pressure up.
No.
Teach her about sexual addictions and where those come from. If she can see him as an injured human being who is acting something out, the fact that he doesn't want to get better or on your all behalf get better, that's something certainly she could feel bad about. But to let the resentments eat her up and then become a focus of how she deals with men, it's going to be bad times.
Look, my sister hated my dad from 7 to 37. I mean, she really hated him for a good, maybe 25 years. Maybe I'm exaggerating. Really nothing you can do. Once they get that resentment going, they just build the case, and then they keep the case alive, and it never ends. I don't think you can push her toward it. What you can push her toward is acting like a 15-year-old, enjoying other guys, realizing that everyone with a penis isn't like daddy.
Yeah.
And having normal relationships and smiling once in a while.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. And watch Entourage, by the way. if cable,
man,
if you
have
cable.
That's a genius segue. I love it.
Yes. That's 10 o'clock.
But one
HBO.
Thing I,
yes. Go ahead. Jerry.
One thing I have learned, and, you know, I'm still single, so I guess listen to nothing that I say, is that one of the first questions I ask if I go out with a woman is what's
your dad like?
Yeah, what's the relationship like with your father?
Think? Very smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, because otherwise, I mean,
you know what you're in for.
Yeah.
That's it. And it's true. And for a guy, what's your relationship like with your mom is a decent question, but it's not the end all and be all. For women, what was your relationship like with your dad, or what is your relationship like with your dad? That's about all you need.
Men, what was your upbringing like, relationship with your parents? How do you feel about them? That kind of stuff. Is
right, right. For me, it's what
have your
think,
previous girlfriends
what you,
been? What have they been like?
What do you think?
How's
bad?
Your relationship's gone?
Yeah. What's dad like? How's your relationship with him? Do you love him? Do you do anal? Those are my two.
Yeah.
I just go right. I go right those. I do those two. I do the anal one, and I do the dad one, and then
that's all the information you need.
Yeah. And by the way, if surf and turf is on the menu, it's not. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not. It's not an option. You get the surf or the turf, but you know, the surf and the turf.
Not both.
Not both. I don't need
anal. Just anal's fine, but
just anal. Okay. Here's if you like your dad and you do anal. You can get surf and turf.
Yeah, okay.
Those are the that's the triangle. I call it the pyramid.
Yeah. Corolla's pyramid of hierarchy of needs.
It's the first date pyramid.
Yes.
I call it the first date pyramid.
Nutritional pyramid.
That's Jeremy Piven is here tonight. He subscribes to the Corolla pyramid theory as it comes to dating. Yeah. I think the anal's at the top, or it might be at the bottom. Actually, it's at the bottom right corner.
Well, actually, it's become the Bermuda Triangle now.
That's right. I call it the devil's triangle.
Self-actualization at the top.
That's right.
Anal sex in the bottom. Yeah.
Jeremy, here tonight. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. It was Loveline until Piven got us tossed off the air. When Jeremy Piven screamed F face into the microphone, and we told him not to worry about it because we had a 17-second delay. Apparently, that wasn't long enough for our engineer.
For our crap team.
Now, don't worry about it. It's cool. We'll land on our feet.
Yeah.
I'm a carpenter, dude, so, I mean, I always got work. I mean, that's cool. Drew's a doctor.
I've got nothing. I mean, literally. I
no,
mean,
you're you, cool. You've no, got a I've, gig. You're on HBO.
I know, but if you take that away from me, then what am I going to do? I can't fix anything.
You're fine. I'm saying you got a gig.
Right.
You don't need the show. Drew's a doctor. Like I said, I'm a carpenter. I think Kim will toss me a bone. Let me punch up some of the monologues or something. I think we're going to land on our feet. Let's not panic. But I'm just saying, so, Jeremy Piven.
I might have single-handedly taken down Loveline. Oh, wait a minute.
Now let's see if they can handle that one.
Engineer Ken.
Ken, calling Ken. Are you going to take care of everybody? What's his name? All right,
you got it. All right. Listen, Jeremy, what are you, high?
I wish I was. I'm sorry, you guys.
Let's talk about it.
But here's
if you
question.
Say it now, he goes
no,
out.
No, Dr. Drew, tell me why I do that. Like, why do I do that?
Why do you have Tourette's?
No, I don't. That's not voluntary Tourette's. Is that possible?
I mean, why do you?
Why did I do that just now?
Hold on. Let me talk to Drew. Don't agitate him.
Because I've always been that way.
When he gets agitated.
I know how to handle cases like this.
But it's literally always been that way.
We'll get the letter, Mr.
Bored. Don't agitate him.
So it's been like, what? How would you describe
it? Hold on. Get him a scratch pad. Let him reply.
I need to live in extremes. I need to figure out. I need
push the envelope. Yeah.
He said figure. I was explaining to Jeremy that he got us tossed. Jeremy used the term F face, except for used the entire word. And it was taken off the air here in Los Angeles, the F part. But nationally, the other 85 cities didn't quite catch it.
They did catch it.
During the explanation
actually,
of that.
Actually, some of them will be on tomorrow night. Maybe they can fix it on the post.
Let's not do that. During that explanation, Jeremy dropped the F-bomb once again. which would be funny if it didn't involve us losing our jobs. But how does this work? How does Jeremy not how does he harness this energy and use it for good?
He does. He likes to push the envelope, and it's all right.
Okay,
it's all good.
All right.
See how easy he took it on me just now. He could have crushed me.
I know. He's a good man. He's a good man. He's gonna physically assault you during the break.
Wait, I'll have somebody do it for me.
No, I don't. I gotta say. I love profanity. It's a great way to make a point.
Yeah.
And if we get thrown off the air, so be it. That's what I say.
But that was me doing it, not you guys.
No, here's the deal. Here's the deal. You like to push things along, which is a good instinct, and it's up to the people that run the show to decide how far to let that run. That's all.
That's right. That's right.
Just the people that run the show let us down.
Right. That's right. Everything's good. Everything's good. Just no more talking. Krista?
Yes.
You're 26?
Yes, I am.
Let's see. Doc put you on pain medications even though you once were an addict.
Yes, the same medication that I was on when I went through detox.
Well, that's, really? It's game on again.
And he gave the doc a head,
Krista, you know better than that, for God's sakes.
Well,
it's your disease. You got to be responsible for that.
I know, but I went through like a major tummy tuck surgery down at Cedars, and kind of like then I got stuck back in surgery. So then,
how long after your addiction was treated did you?
I was off the Percocet, and I was treated for it in August.
Yeah, now I'm sure they told you no elective procedures for a year.
No.
So you really set yourself up for this relapse.
Oh, do they do that?
Of course.
No, they never told me.
Krista, please, you may not have heard it, but you don't go and get a procedure where you are definitely going to be given pain medicine until you've been sober a long time.
So if that's your drug of choice.
You do everything you can to avoid dental work or elective procedures where you're going to need opiates. I mean, people are not into you suffering. Of course
What about if weed is your drug of choice or booze?
Yeah.
Will they still give you that edict?
It can re-trigger the whole disease, but it's especially the opiate addicts that they must avoid situations where they're likely to be exposed to these drugs that will just reactivate the disease.
All right.
All the thinking, all the preoccupations, it's just game on again, Krista.
So I'm going to have to go through this withdrawal once I'm off this Percocet.
Forget the withdrawal. You'll have to withdraw, but your addiction is activated. And that's the problem.
So I'll go through that whole thing over again with the shaking and the...
Well, the withdrawal may not be so bad, but clearly you didn't get with the program. Clearly you didn't. Because, first of all, your sponsor never would have let you do this. You wouldn't be so preoccupied with the withdrawal right now. You'd be more interested in your addiction, which is separate from the withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
You've really not done your work. So, you know, naturally enough, your disease will reactivate one way or another. And it's time to get back in the game.
Is it game on with the Percocet now? Are you back with it?
I have it because they had to redo the surgery again because there was a seroma in there. So I just got out of Cedars, and I'm kind of like back on the Percocet, and they keep handing it to me. And I told them to give me something that didn't have an opiate in it.
Well, nothing else is going to
have any good pain. It's called aspirin.
Right, it's Tylenol. There's no such thing as a painkiller that doesn't have opiate in it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's non-steroids, but they won't work.
Yeah.
So, Chris,
and you got a tummy tuck?
Yeah, I had a tummy tuck done. And then I had to go back in because there was a seroma. So they
I'm sorry. I'm so ignorant. What, now, why did you get that? Because I don't understand what that is exactly.
I had a couple C-sections, so I had some... I had, some skin hanging down.
Cosmetic procedure. And by the way, seroma is no big deal, too. It usually resolves on its own. So she obviously was pushing.
Right. Are you someone, to break in, I have no knowledge of anything in the world. Would a woman like you try, did you try to exercise and all that kind of stuff, and then didn't work for you, and then you went for the tummy tuck, or did you just go right for that?
I tried exercise and stuff, but a lot of the doctors said that it wouldn't go away by itself, that I would need the tummy tuck. So,
but you did it. You died and you and exercised.
Yeah, and then it looked good to me because I thought everybody was doing it, and then I wanted it. So,
after a pregnancy, when there is disruption of the abdominal wall musculature, and there's basically a pannus that develops, that's not going away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like a panhelectomy.
They'll actually even take a triangle of the skin, just pull the whole thing off.
Okay.
Jeremy lives in the colonies and exclusively bangs models.
By the way, I don't live in the colony. I live in the Malibu ghetto.
He doesn't understand the whole loose skin.
All right, but Krista, the deal is you've got to get back in the program. Call whoever treated you before,
banging,
get back in the
he's
program.
He's banging models. He's dropping the F-bomb. He's drinking Cristal out of a silver slipper. Say, probably playing tennis with Johnny Carson.
Well, as a matter of fact.
No, not Johnny Carson. Johnny McEnroe, but not Johnny Carson.
Well, I'm just thinking of a famous colonies guy. That's all.
Listen, John.
I don't have the U.S. currency for the colony. I live in the Malibu ghetto, literally, but it's still Malibu.
No, I know. Well, we'll talk during the break because I am a home improvement guy, and you probably have something you want to do over there, you know, beyond just getting satellite.
I'm knocking down walls. I'm getting into it.
We're going to talk because I'm gonna tell you things.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Fantastic.
I worry Krista over here, and Drew was getting the vibe off of her almost immediately. There's issues. There's things going
on.
She
has done not one shred of work in her recovery. I'm not going to talk to her anymore because it's going to become...
I know. I'm going to yell at her. But listen, Krista.
Yes.
You're going to screw your kid up. You understand? All that C-sectioning and tummy tucking and your attitude's what's going to F up this kid. Something's wrong.
Well, the addiction.
In the addiction.
She's an opiate addict.
But it goes beyond that.
Well, opiate addicts, you're most commonly trauma survivors. So that's probably what you're picking
up.
But then once you're angry, you can't get any more of it anyway.
It's weird.
Krista, this is a disease that you have to be involved in the treatment of for many, many months. You can't just detox and expect it to end. It will always resurface.
What about your proclamation not to talk to her? Quiet down. Krista.
Yeah.
You're going to screw your kid up. Hey, you're laughing because I know you think you're the world's greatest mom, but you're angry and you're going to screw your kid up, so stop it. All right? Get yourself some help. Listen
to I go to, like, therapy.
All right. That's good enough. I know. These are the addicts that have the comeback and the retort for everything. Yes, they call and they blame this person. They blame it's everybody.
What
but
you
themselves.
Have to understand is that because she has trouble seeing this because addiction is a disruption of the motivational priorities of the brain. Mm-hmm. Her everything she feels, every thought she has is affected by this motivational system that has been distorted by the opiates. So naturally, anything that gets in the way of that is going to be pushed aside.
Right. All right, let's talk to Renee, who's 23. Renee?
Hi.
What's up?
I'm calling because I have this problem where I bleed during sex, and it's only with one particular guy. I've slept with four guys, and it's always with just one particular guy that I bleed with during sex, and he's the smallest guy I've ever been with, but he's also the only guy that I don't use protection with. I don't know if condom versus no condom has anything to do with it or what. I mean, we're very gentle. It's not like it's rough. It's not like it hurts.
Well, the first thing you need to do is make him acutely aware that he's the smallest one you've been with. That's the most important thing, and I ask you to do that now, and we'll wait.
There will be no more blood, but there will be lots of tears.
Yeah, maybe... Maybe he's so small he's actually piercing the skin. Like
cutting.
Like getting humped with a number two pencil or something. You know what I'm saying, Drew? Maybe he's actually
cutting. We can ask him
cutting.
That. That'll make him feel
like
good.
Like an ice pick
or something. Like a needle.
Yeah.
Renee, yeah, you see you don't use protection with him. That means you're not using a condom. Does that mean you're on the birth control pill?
I am on the pill.
Okay. And you're only on the pill when you're with this guy.
No, I've been on the pill for 5 years now.
You haven't changed type of pill, dose of pill, anything like that?
Nope, nothing.
Some women bleed when they have intercourse.
Yes, and the pill can make that even more likely to happen.
And
is it variable an angle? Is this particular gentleman very flexible?
And curved?
Does he have a curved situation?
No, it never hurts. I mean, it's always been
is it curved?
Yeah,
is
it curved? Shape of his penis.
Yeah.
Any English on it?
No.
Which side does he dress?
and more towards the right, I guess.
More to the right.
Now, Taylor?
Republican. And he doesn't, and he's smaller than the other guys, and the sex is not vigorous either.
Gentle.
No.
Wow.
Is it enjoyable for you?
It is, very much so.
I do not have an answer for this. I think it may be just a weird coincidence. I wonder if it's just something...
Is there anything I can do about it? Because I'm tired of bleeding on, sheets all the time.
You need to get a pap smear and maybe have a cervical polyp or something. There are things that a lot of different things can predispose to this. You got to get that checked out.
And there's also a way, and Drew does this himself. He was doing it on the show the other week, which is your mind attempts to find a sort of pattern. It's constantly working, looking for patterns.
All brains.
All human brains are looking for patterns.
Explanations and things, yeah.
Yeah, it's really weird. We were getting our phone lines were screwed up. Drew was convinced it was only line 5 and like line 2 when it was all of them, and I realized he's looking for a pattern. Mm-hmm. And this is the way this is how you go through life.
This is why you come up with the idea that throwing sacrifices into the volcano are going to prevent the volcano from erupting because somebody fell in one time.
When you take some of these things, like I only bleed when I'm with this one guy, and you start dissecting it and breaking it down a little bit, you realize there's other times she's bled with other guys. It hasn't been every time with this guy. But once your mind starts going down this path that establish a rhythm and a pattern, it's hard to talk yourself out of it.
Once you believe something, there are also vibrations that you can set off from that, the truth or that feeling or that belief. And so if you're focusing on the negative, which is, oh my God, I'm going to bleed every time I'm with them, you could also be manifesting it. Is that right at all?
Jeremy's a Jewish guy. What's going on here?
He's like American Indian.
He's like a Dantic Jew?
He's from...
I'm confused.
I'm not confused.
What?
I don't know what... I'm not sure what tribe he's from. But he's like,
look, man, I'm serious. You can manifest certain things in your life when you focus on them. If you focus on the negative,
absolutely.
You know, yeah, you absolutely. You will manifest those things.
Dances
I'm telling
with
you.
Krepla, I think is what his tribe calls us. All right, but here's the point.
Running with Kugel.
I'm scared he's going to drop the F bomb again. So
I will. I'm so close to it. I'm starting to twitch.
He'll use it. Yes, there is a thing too, especially with the body. Which is if you're sort of convinced that something's going to happen, it will. Yes. I'm going to feel pain every time this, whatever, you will start feeling that pain. Mm-hmm. But producing blood is taking it a step further, but still not that out of the realm or the spectrum.
No, okay, I'll give you, before you touch anything, I'll give you an example.
Go ahead.
Okay, people with multiple personalities can literally change their body chemistry when they switch into another personality.
That's true.
So we're capable of doing those things.
A lot of things, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of amazing. I don't know what her situation is, but think about that for a second, that it's been documented, like, you know, when someone switches into another personality and they were actually drunk, that they switched into another personality and suddenly there's no trace of, you know, alcohol. I mean it gets completely unexplainable.
Right.
My head is going to explode.
He's going to say F something. So let's go to break. Right, go to break.
Chief Yentlbear is here tonight. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number. Oh, forget about it. We don't need your calls. The thing that's funny about Jeremy Piven does not cuss off the air.
Yeah, everyone else we've ever had on this show just breaks it out when the mics go off.
Right. He only cusses on the air.
Yeah, it's true. It's a form of Tourette's of some type, yeah. Mm, I think so.
That's interesting.
Good.
Jeremy Piven.
No, it's a form. I need attention. And you can break that down if you want to, and I don't care. It's okay. You can. I need to fill my soul because it's empty, maybe.
Well,
with the attention.
If you want to satisfy that need in Jeremy Piven, you can watch him on Entourage.
Sunday at 10.
I love the way you're, as kids say, blowing up.
Silky,
the
yeah.
People HBO. Are going to watch that. People have been talking about that for a while.
Sunday night, 10 o'clock, first one airs, and I've been hearing just a ton of buzz about it already.
Is it all scripted, or is it more like the Larry Sanders kind of...
It's all scripted, but Doug Ellen and Larry Charles, who is a co-creator of Curb Your Enthusiasm and co-creator of Seinfeld, likes, you know, they write it all out, and I kind of beg, you know, just to have at least one free one, and you just kind of go for yours, and you know, they've been great about, you know, they kind of got the joke with me, where now it got to the point where they wouldn't even do a rehearsal with me. They would just start filming from the first take, and so they would let me open it up a lot more, and did some stuff with Jimmy Kimmel and Sarah Silverman.
Yeah. Are they in the first episode?
They're in episode number two, and it's really good, actually. And we did some stuff in the green room with Sarah, and I wish I could do some of the scene for you right now, but I would have to swear throughout most of it,
yeah,
which is a problem for you guys right now. And I won't go to that place.
She's excellent, by the way, and almost stand up, whatever. She just happens to be.
You can't stump her, and you can't shock her. No matter what I said to her, she would just kind of roll with it. It was amazing.
She is a talent and a dear, dear friend.
We celebrate her.
Andrew?
Yes?
You have a question for Jeremy Piven?
Hmm. Yeah, I just want to say I love him in all his movies, and I really love him in PCU when they find him and he's sleeping with a cigarette in his mouth. But I really wanted to know what was the most fun role for you to do in all your movies?
You know, and I'm not just saying this. I have to say
Entourage.
I really do, just because.
I thought I was going to say all of them.
No, Entourage is like.
Come on, Judgment Night, buddy. Come on, buddy. No, right here.
Well, look at, you know, from the response we've been getting, I've never gotten reviews or a buzz like this character, you know, and it's not like. I suddenly have kind of blossomed as a performer. I mean, the variable is the role itself. It's like this guy is like this angel devil guy that can just rip your head off and, you know, tear you apart, and then also just sell, you know, hug you and tell you how much he loves you in the next instant. Right. So he's that guy that works that way, and people don't know how to deal with him in this world. And really, Entourage is about a group that surrounds this film star, and it's about all the guys who are from the East Coast trying to navigate in Hollywood and have no reference for this town and be given everything for free because they're with, you know, their boy, their guy.
Have there been, and you've done a million movies, have there been fun sets versus miserable sets versus ones you just don't even really remember, like don't even register?
Yes. I would say a miserable set, as you know, was Judgment Night. That'd be absolutely miserable.
Was it?
Yes, as miserable as they come.
Yeah.
And then Entourage is great because, you know, one of the things, like I said, was they really trust you, so they let you kind of do your thing.
Yeah.
You know, they open it up. They're not precious about their words, even though they're, you know, great words.
Yes.
And they're collaborative. So, yeah, this Entourage has been a blast.
All right, so the project collaborated on together.
Yes, was a nightmare. That's one of the things that contributed to your laziness.
Yeah. Or the disaster that was that program.
Yeah, well, I watch a movie. Well, All right. Thanks, Andrew. Let's talk to Hillary, who's 15. Hillary?
Yeah?
You're virgin?
Yeah.
Yeah? So. What's happening? Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a virgin, and my boyfriend's a virgin. Mm-hmm. And we've been together for 10 months, mm-hmm. and I just found out that we're moving to Hesperia.
Asparagus?
Covina. Hesperia.
Hesperia.
Yeah, somewhere up north.
Yeah, and I live in West Covina, so it's obviously very far. Mm-hmm. And we haven't had sex yet or anything. Obviously don't really think that he's just with me for sex, because he would have dumped me by now.
Yeah,
are you going to try to have sex to try to bond, to solidify this relationship
who's moving? He's moving or you're
She's moving?
I'm moving.
And you're moving, I don't know, is it like 500 miles up the coast or how far
is it? It's like an hour away, I think.
But why would you be contemplating having sex with this guy that you're going to be away from?
Because I think that since we've been together for a long time, things have been okay with us, and I figured that, you know, if I'm been with him for this long and we haven't done anything, then obviously, you know, what are the chances of us breaking up on a long distance relationship? I mean, I'm going to see him every week.
So you're trying to stick this thing together by having sex. That's a bad plan.
Not exactly, because I'm not moving till like December.
It's a bad plan. Yeah. It's going to make this whole process.
You cannot use sex like glue. I did stick a slipper to a bathrobe once via sex.
Oh, that's one of the many things that your poor nanny has to take care of. Your housekeeper.
Yeah, it's tough.
So
but wait a second.
Somebody that can break bricks with her head.
Quiet down, Drew. Here's the point. You guys have decided you're going to see each other every weekend. Neither one of you has a driver's license.
No, he does.
I thought he was
15.
He's 16, whatever.
He's 16.
Do not do this, Hillary. It's a bad plan to try to use
don't
sex
with. Don't do it because he's moving.
It's going to make the whole thing that much more painful.
All right, here's the deal. You can have sex with him after he moves. The fifth time you see him.
We'll see
if they see him every weekend or
after. Do you guys ever talk about things like when you lost virginity?
Oh.
During the break.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Well, that's it, everybody. That's the show. I want to thank the great Jeremy Piven
for coming in tonight.
You did it.
Without unloading any words on
that. S or F bombs. Entourage, the name of the
following
show.
Following 6 feet under Sunday night is going to premiere.
Following.
Thank you guys for promoting it so much, and I appreciate it.
Our pleasure. You just don't forget about us when it's a huge hit.
No, are you kidding?
Tomorrow night.
Or even if it's not.
Yeah, don't forget about us. Mimi Rogers in here tomorrow night. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.